Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Presented by Zadok Jewelers.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else.
We have sound of Joe Espada talking about Bregman's departure. We'll get to that. But before I got distracted by sideline, the quarterback and me, I was going to talk about James Harden. James Harden passed Hakeem Olajuwon last night on the all-time scoring list. It's about that time for some of us. I still remember KD wearing his backpack during press conferences in one of his first deep playoff runs and hugging his mom after games. And now he's like eighth on the scoring list. He passed that mark in the previous game before he played the Rockets and put up a nice night, although the Rockets found a way to win that one. Well, James Harden is another one of those guys who's climbing up the scoring list, and he just passed Hakeem Olajuwon. Of course, James knows Hakeem from his time here, and he spoke about passing Hakeem and his interactions with Hakeem while he was in Houston.
I feel like we're running out of ways to ask you about moving up the all-time scoring list. We've talked to you about it a lot this year already, but outside of becoming second all-time in made threes, is there one of those milestones that you've hit this year that you really sat there and was like, wow, you know, maybe I watched that guy? Or
no, yeah, honestly, yeah. If you want someone, like today was tomorrow's dream. Like when I got traded to the Rockets, it was like, you know, Hakeem Olajuwon. You know what I mean? He brought so much. Obviously, we all know about, you know, on the court, but off the court, you know, as well. You know, somebody that I looked up to and kind of wanted to, you know, mold and do things in the sense of, like, what he brought to that city. And obviously, I came short of a championship, but I feel like I've accomplished a lot in that city. And I watched him. You know, he supported me throughout my entire career or my entire stint, you know, in Houston. So tonight was, you know, a little bit more special.
James, you guys were able to.
So James Harden, now 13th on the all-time scoring list, passes Hakeem Olajuwon last night. And look, nice words from James. His reputation here is mixed for multiple reasons, and you heard him mention not getting the title. That doesn't help his cause. There are others who talk about how dominant he was and won't speak a word of negativity about him. Just how it is. People are going to love James for his time. Others are going to say championships are the bottom line and you didn't get it done. You have your poor playoff games. The elimination James stuff will be a thing that follows him, particularly here. He did it in Philly. He did it in Brooklyn. He did it in Oklahoma City in their one finals. He wasn't great in those finals, but no doubt one of the best players to ever do it and continues to climb up the list. He's an all-star. He's not shooting great. The Clippers are fine. Part of that has to do with Kawhi not being available enough, but he's kind of kept them afloat, and I think they're a 6 seed or something. So not out of the realm of possibility that it's James and the Clippers against the Rockets. Now, the Rockets have dominated the Clippers this year. Playoffs are different. We'll see how the Rockets perform, but I would like that matchup. If I was looking at the top eight in the West, if you can give me the Clippers, and I mean, the likelihood of Kawhi not being around for that series, it's just how it's gone for him this year, or at least his career over the last 5 years in LA or so, I wouldn't mind it. So be on the lookout for that. As much as the Rockets have plenty of time to go as far as the season is concerned, and the seedings will switch up. Hell, they were the 5 seed last night. Now they're the 4 seed. Can change that quickly with how tight the race is. They can get up to 3, and it's going to take a bit because Denver's playing really well. They've won 8 in a row, but if the Rockets can get on a hot streak and get back up to three, they're a game and a half behind Denver right now. Give me the Clippers. Give me that team who is banking on Kawhi staying healthy and James Harden being a legit playoff performer throughout a seven-game series. And who else is there? Norman Powell? That's not a bad matchup for the Rockets. I don't want to see Anthony Edwards. We saw him. We saw him against them just recently. I don't need that type of star against them. And of course, the Mavericks are in a position to. We'll see how healthy they are at the time that the playoffs hit. So, James Harden, passing Hakeem. It's bound to happen. Hakeem will continue to fall down the list, but we know his status here in town, and certainly James Harden recognized it as well. Okay, I mentioned we would get to more sound regarding Bregman leaving. Well, Joe Espada was asked as well. We heard from Dana Brown. Joe Espada had his thoughts. Joe Espada was one of the guys who kind of fired up people thinking this could happen. This was now, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago? He was walking someplace, and I don't know if it was Will Kunkel. Oh, I think it was Nate Griffin of Fox 26 asked him a question, and it kind of sparked some people thinking that Bregman could come back. That clearly did not happen and probably never was going to happen. Here's Joe Espada on the news that Bregman's going to be a Red Sox.
Woke up to the news. So, I have not had a chance to, text him or call him.
Did you just have the team meeting? Is that?
No. I addressed the pitchers and catchers.
Oh, okay. I know it's obviously early. Is there a different feel with all the big names that are gone? And does it feel like a different team or what? How's that?
You know what? The team is still not all here yet. Yeah. So we'll see when the rest of the guys are there.
What's your reaction to him now being a Red Sox?
Oh, I'm happy for Alex. I know the news are not official yet, but I'm happy for him. He made his decision, so now it's time for all of us just to move forward and turn the page.
Are you happy there's some clarity now with the situation? This limbo?
Yeah, you know what? I think for everyone, if the deal becomes official, I think it's important for us just to know that, I want to talk about the guys in camp. I want to talk about our team. We have a really good team. Despite us losing, these two great players, we have some really good players in camp. I'm excited about the young players, and I'm ready to get on the field and get to work.
What do you feel about your third baseman now?
Joe Espada, answering reporter questions about Bregman being a Red Sox. He was asked about it being a new team, and this is one projected lineup. A lot of people take issue with the lack of pop in the outfield, but this is, at this point, what you might expect if everyone's healthy when it's opening day. Altuve, second base, Paredes, Alvarez, Yordan, Christian Walker, Yiner, Jeremy Peña. That first six, you feel pretty good. There are some concerns with guys getting on base more consistently, but not bad. That's what the Astros did. You hear the name Paredes and Walker. That's what the Astros did to be ready for this moment when Bregman eventually decided to be someplace else. But the McCormick, Gamo, Myers last third of the lineup, that's bothersome. That's your outfield right now. And maybe Trammell will get some at-bats. We know Altuve will play in left, but he will at least sometime. But he will be at the top of the order. Mauricio Dubon, you can throw in there as well. But if that projection is your lineup consistently, it's not great from 7 to 9. Feels like a lot of bad at-bats and frustration from fans when guys are on and in scoring position, and then you have to hope that McCormick, Gamble, and Myers come through. Don't think we're going to enter the bottom third of the lineup with a lot of confidence going forward. Not Maldonado bad, but there were times in the not-too-distant past where like 1 through 7, 1 through 8, you were okay with, more than okay with, as far as this Astros lineup. I mean, you can just think back to 2019. Now, that's a little bit ago, but that lineup, far different from this one, a lot of departures, and now guys like Gamma, who's just signed, who you would hope wouldn't be someone that one site would project to be a starter, is in the starting lineup. So that's where we stand. Of course, your projected starters right now for your pitching staff as spring training opens: Valdez, Brown, Blanco, Arrighetti, Wesneski. There's a picture of Fromber and Christian Javier standing side by side as training camp or spring training opens, and Javier is a guy that you should not expect until after the All-Star break. That was the news. Luis Garcia and McCullers, those two, a little bit sooner than that, but not available for opening day. So, and of course, you can throw J.P. France in there as another guy who had to deal with injuries last year. So, kind of the consistent mode we deal with the Astros. When will a guy get injured, and when will a guy come back? Those are the two modes, and just pray Fromber continues to stay healthy, and of course Hunter Brown as well. I asked Raheel if he was calling in, and his response suggested he forgot. So I am glad I reminded him. Raheel Ramzanali has told us, or at least me, he would join me at 11:15. I did remind him he seems to be ready to go. We will see what he has to offer, because he prompted this. He wanted to do this. So it looks like he's calling in. There's another call that we will get to since Raheel's going to join us coming up. I want to get to that call before we go to break. Don't want to leave that person hanging for an extended amount of time. So we hope to get to you and Raheel as well before we go. So this is where we stand. Kevin Durant was in town. Everyone, a lot of media members were excited to talk to him because of the rumors about him and the Rockets. Bregman's a Red Sox. And Raheel Ramzanali joins us in a couple minutes. So, and also, I did want to get to something. We may have time for it, because I don't know if there's anything like it in professional sports here. Lance is a fan of Everton. They are the second club in a big city in England, Premier League soccer. It was a big game for them. The last game in their famed old stadium. They're going to be moving, but it was their last game against their rival. And it's a moment that I don't know if can be reproduced here, because, sure, the Lakers and the Clippers play in the same city, but it ain't the same. Not enough people care about the Clippers and are as passionate enough about the Clippers to make a moment like this happen. So we may play that before we go. I don't see the name up there. Who is that on the board?
It's Jerry.
Let's get to Jerry before we go. Raheel, we'll get to you when we come back from break. Jerry, what's up?
Hey, good morning. Hey, two things. One, I don't know if you've seen it already, but the new Houston Dynamo jersey just dropped, and I think it's probably the best jersey that's come out in the past 5 years. I'm still not a fan of the logo, but it looks amazing. And two, the rivalry of Everton and Liverpool, for those that don't follow soccer, I'm a huge soccer fanatic. Liverpool could be in first place and Everton could be in last place in the Premier, and those games will always be fun. And did you, I don't know if you knew this, but their stadiums are less than a mile apart from each other, which is crazy, because I don't think it has been or will ever be in the States where just two rival teams' stadiums are, just that close to each other. And, I hope the Dynamo have a good season this year. New Jersey, you got Tim Howard joining the ownership group. So it should be fun. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's part of what makes the Liverpool-Everton thing such a big deal. Not just walking distance, a mile between the two stadiums. You got two major soccer clubs in the same city, and they go at it. And, I'm glad he clarified. He was talking about the Dynamos, New Jersey. I didn't hear that first part. I'm a fan of the Dynamo. Hopefully, I mean, they've had a modicum of success. They won a cup here in the last couple of years. Not the MLS Cup, but they've got a trophy recently thanks to Ben Olsen and those players. Hopefully, they can be a real contender this year. And you mentioned Tim Howard, the U.S. international goalie. You see him if you watch Premier League, you'll see him as a in-studio analyst for the Premier League on NBC and Peacock and stuff like that. Okay, I see Raheel. Don't stop waving your finger. Just to let you know, you telling me to wrap it up is not going to work. That's Abigail. She's filling in for Sean.
You do the exact same thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't work for them either, so it definitely is not going to work for me. Raheel, we'll get to you when we come back. She told me to go to break, so we'll go to break. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.
5.
Stand by. Cue announcer.
The Del Olalea Show. Weekday mornings from 10 to noon.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I was trying to remember what tournament or cup the Dynamo won recently. They won the U.S. Open Cup. They beat Messi and Inter Miami in Miami for that one. Let's get to Raheel Ramzanali. He is the host of CityCast. You can find it anywhere you listen to podcasts. And he was supposed to send me topics. He did not. In fact, I had to remind him that he was doing this. But Raheel had stuff to do. When? I was doing the show. I didn't get to see. I don't know if the first topic is exactly what this show strength is, but we can try it. We can try it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, set it up. I texted you a couple of weeks ago, and I said, hey, it's the off season. I think it'd be fun to do a segment where we just catch people up on what's happening in the city. Because the more I do CityCast Houston, which, again, is available everywhere you get your podcast, thank you for the plug, I'm learning that a lot of us don't know what's happening in our city when it comes to government, politics, crime even, right? So, like, we can educate the people. This is our responsibility.
It's your responsibility. My responsibility is to do stupid stuff for 2 hours. It's your responsibility to educate
the
people.
That's what I want to do. Yeah. Let's be honest. I want to do that.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah, that was the premise of this like actual segment. It's not just me randomly calling in. You know,
okay.
While Rocco's probably freaking out right now, Lazy J, they're like, Rio's back with Dell. The show is back. No, we have an actual segment here. Okay?
Yes, yes. So do you want to do the dumb stuff or do you want to do the serious thing you sent me?
I want to ask you a fun question first.
Okay, let's go.
And then we'll be serious, though. I promise.
Sure.
Okay. Can you explain what is happening with the NBA All-Star Game on Sunday? Because, you know, I'm a huge NBA fan. I like watching it. I'm not as dialed in anymore. I know they're changing formats. What is happening? Is it a one-on-one tournament with Steph Curry and
Caitlin Clark?
Or what?
No. No. I think when they get down to it, there'll be four teams. They've Kenny, okay. Chuck, and Shaq picked three teams already, probably at the behest of Adam Silver, because there seems to be a distinct international flavor for one of the teams. And then there'll be the Rising Stars game will decide a fourth team, and then they'll have four teams playing each other. Allegedly, that'll bring more competition. I don't know why we just can't go East versus West and incentivize the players to care, but apparently if you divide them up into three teams of All-Stars and then a fourth team of Rising Stars, you'll get people who care about the games. We will see, but that's part of it. That's part of it this All-Star weekend.
Okay, so that's the Sunday game. That's the main event, right?
Yes.
So there's going to be four games, I guess, or like to what, 15? Like how we play pickup basketball? What's happening?
I think, I don't know if it's make it, take it. I don't know if you king of the court. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but it will be Chuck's Global Stars versus Kenny's Young Star. So there actually was a reason for the names they picked.
Oh, okay.
In the first semifinal. Okay. And then Shaq's OGs versus Candace's Rising Stars. That'd be Candace Parker. In the second semifinal. So those are your two semifinals, and the winners of those will play in the final on Sunday on TNT.
Wait, so the first game is Saturday?
No, they're going to ask these players who don't care about the game and don't care to try to play two games. The semifinal winners will play two games, and we'll see how much effort there is for those, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. So let's say both, like all the teams are like, we're good. Like, is there even a final then? Like,
I don't think they're going to get away with canceling the final. Are we going to get any effort? Because you divide these teams and then add a fourth one, that's the young guns, I guess, is that going to make teams try harder? I mean, some of the first-timers will try. Like, I think Darius Garland and Anthony Edwards, maybe that's the point. You put teams together and you try to, hey,
yeah,
you guys want to get embarrassed by the young guys? Then you better try. Maybe that's what it is.
I think what they should do is, if you lose your semifinal matchup, then you're suspended for 2 months with no
two pay. Months until the playoffs? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you don't want to take this seriously, then you know what? You don't love the sport.
No, you can't get away with that. But you can put like one of those catapult trackers on them, and if they don't reach a certain level, then you get suspended for.
No, it's the eye test. We can tell.
No.
Like, you know, we can see if you're trying or not.
But they're going to need evidence, like, because some guys, I don't think you can get away with 2 months if you don't have hard proof. Like, put the catapults, put those sports bras on all those guys and have them
and
run around.
In the sports bra, No jerseys on top.
No, you no, it'll be like, it'll be all-star branded sports bras, catapults.
Ooh.
And then you get them out there, and then you see how much effort is being put out there, and then that's how you determine who who in your case doesn't get suspended or does get suspended for 2 months without pay.
And then DraftKings can have a live board of the catapult because DraftKings NBA is brought to you by DraftKings now, I think, or FanDuel or Rooster Hound or I don't know what betting websites are there. But they should have a live board and you can look at the actual catapult results as we're watching the game and bet on that as well.
The Jontay Porter Terry Rozier live board?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
I don't. I mean, you got to think of new revenue sources, right? Because the NBA is going broke, I guess.
Yes.
Every single thing is sponsored by a betting website.
Yes, that's why salaries continue to rise, and the Mavs are like, we can't pay Luka, what, $60 million per year.
I'm trying to help you. I'll throw you an alley-oop for a my bookie read here.
I don't have it. Sorry. It's the off season because football's over. My bookie's taking a break.
Oh, man. Okay, speaking of budgets and money, did you know that the city of Houston right now is in a budget deficit by $200+ million. It's going to rise to $300 million, potentially $500 million next year, depending on a new contract with the police union. And nobody has like solutions right now.
Sorry, I live in a well-run county that is Galveston County, so I don't have these problems.
You live in Lake City.
That's Galveston County.
I know, but I live in Lake City.
So, so it's still Galveston County. What's your point?
I'm just saying it's. I mean it's. Kind of run down.
Do we have budget issues? Whoa. I wouldn't know. Sorry, I live more in I live closer to Clear Lake Shores anyway, so maybe ooh, where you live is run down, but where I live it's not as run down. Sorry.
Wait, Abigail, did you just tell us where you live? That's probably not the smartest.
Lake City. I mean, it's not that small.
It's pretty big.
Yeah, she's not.
I still wouldn't have said anything.
Yeah,
you know the ESPN listeners.
It's true. I wouldn't have told anyone where I live if I was you. I wouldn't have done that. I said if I were you, they don't care enough about me to make it a problem for me. But for you, now they can draw a radius and try to figure out where you live.
I'll be calling Dell up and be like,
"Don't you won't call me?
You answer."
Hey, true story. One time, an Amazon package delivery guy was delivering a package, and he wrote on my package, "Hey, I miss you on the radio.
Oh,
so nice."
Too far.
Wow. Even Raheel is getting that.
What's worse, what happened to you, or the fact that an Amazon delivery person delivered a package to Mandy Moore's stepmom and not stepmom, her father-in-law and her father-in-law's home? That was burned to the ground. They just left the package out in front.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was
common sense.
Yeah, Mandy Moore, obviously, in the L.A. area, her in-laws' house burned down, and the Amazon delivery driver was like, "Yep, this package says it goes here. I'm leaving it here."
I mean, maybe I'm kind of torn on this one. Maybe they just wanted to, you know, like they were going to be in that area, because I do that sometimes. Like, if I know I'm going to be in San Antonio for UFC work and I need something, I deliver it straight to the hotel, right? Maybe they were just going to be like, "Hey, we're going to go check up on the property."
Nah, stop trying to shoot that delivery driver bail. What? Why wouldn't they have just told the Amazon, "Hey, I'm going to be at, you know, my daughter's home.
It's not
my
place to guess." I'm just.
It's not your place to shoot bail It's not your place to shoot bail for the delivery driver who dropped off a package in front of a decimated, burned out home.
We got to protect our delivery drivers.
I agree. We have drivers who listen to us, but I expect more of them. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
Yeah, but just, you know, and don't write notes on my package. Yeah. I already know you know where I live. It's kind of creepy.
That's
a
step too far.
I mean, it was really nice to like feel the love, but I'm like, my wife got really freaked out. She's like, "Okay, this is really creepy."
You need to draw a line. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm outside of work.
I'm actually going to throw me some free packages. Then we're cool.
Yeah, like, well, that would just be stealing. Yeah. That's just stealing.
On his part.
I know. He would just be stealing, which maybe he's so devoted to you. If he's going to write your name on a package or a message on your package, he might steal some for you. What would be your favorite item that someone could steal for you, that the Amazon delivery driver could steal from someone else and give to you?
Easy. High-end iPhones, AirPod Maxes, AirPod Pro,
so electronics.
Whatever. I mean, electronics, right? Those are the best ones.
I was thinking maybe a duvet cover for you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So what's your next topic?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's serious or silly.
Serious time. Let's switch to serious. Speaking of crime, Houstonians are more likely to face violent crimes and property crimes than other cities of our size, right? L.A. comes to mind. San Antonio was another one. And this study was done by the city, by the way. So more violent crimes, more property crimes. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, at least my Instagram feed, I follow a lot of restaurants. And it seems like every restaurant is getting broken into. My dad's store, of course, Perfume Time on Harwin. He's been there for over 30 years. Over the summer, robbers broke into his store and stole a lot of merchandise, right? Like, still recovering from that. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, overall crime is down, but violent crimes, property crimes, we're not doing that great as a city. Again, not for you because you live in the Pacific. What is it, Lake Pacific? Or
no, I live in the utopia that is South Shore Harbor, Clear Lake Shores area,
but for,
yes.
But people in Houston, not a good time right now.
So do the city officials think they have a solution for this, or is this another one of those unsolvable problems for the city?
I think the big solution is more cops who stay on, right? Like, I think they're having a hard time filling a lot of empty positions at HPD and keeping cops, right, because of pay and all this stuff. And that's what they're going to figure out with this new contract with the police union. So that could be one. But they also put, like, more education of people, like educating people and providing more opportunities. I think it's all about, when the economy's great, city's great, people are making a lot of money, there is a direct correlation to crime going down, right? So maybe it's some of that. But, yeah, one of the things they put in was like, hey, let's reach out to high school dropouts and educate them.
Okay.
I get it. Like, on paper, that's a nice solution, but that's all.
I would maybe get to them before.
Is a criminal, which is kind of offensive.
Maybe get to them before they become high school dropouts. Don't wait. If the plan is to
middle school,
let's start early. Let's start indoctrinating people into thinking staying in school is a better option. But I'm not a decision maker in the city of Houston, so I can't speak to what they can do to solve this crime. So we've certainly got some people tweeting about, well, they want nonsense like shade, but we might get to that if you want to throw some shade at someone. But I asked Abigail to, in the first hour, what show she would recommend, and she recommend, or movie, and she recommends Sidelined, The Quarterback and Me.
What is that?
It's a To Be Original.
Wait, hold
featuring
on. Sidelined, The Quarterback
Sidelined, semicolon, okay, or colon, The Quarterback and Me.
It's basically a love story between a quarterback and a dancer. So
yes, it's a
okay, because the phone, like, I can't hear you as well.
Okay.
It's the QB.
The QB, the QB and me. It features.
I think you were saying Sideline, the QB in me. And I'm like, what?
Well, that's a different movie. Maybe not on Tubi.
Okay, that's not going to be a Tubi.
There's some meta commentary.
It's going to be a talk about it tomorrow with Michael Carroll.
No chance. There is a meta commentary in it because, do you remember Johnny Mox Moxon from Varsity Blues?
Yeah, I do.
James Vanderbeek, he plays the overbearing father in this movie,
what?
As opposed to his character who dealt with an overbearing father in Varsity Blues. So there may be some meta stuff there. Not enough to get me to watch because the star of it is a TikToker. I'm out on that. But since I asked her before you,
terrible.
How about you? What would you? Yes, I know. That's why I'm not watching it. It sounds terrible.
I looked it up. Even the poster for it looks terrible.
It looks awful. Awful.
Don't judge a book by its cover. I made Sean watch it. Sean said it was good.
Oh, my God.
Sean loves bad stuff, though.
I don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, I'm judging this movie by a cover.
Yeah. I was at the library yesterday, Del, and one of the featured books was this like book called Kayfabe, or no, I forgot what the name of it, but yeah, it's called Kayfabe. So it's a wrestling book. It's a fictional book about like this guy trying to make it in the independent wrestling circuit. 400 pages. And the cover looked fantastic. I picked it up and I read the inside just to kind of get a little summary. I'm in. I checked it out. Okay, so yeah, you can judge a book by its cover.
Covers help. That's why they put money into covers. It helps.
Yeah, covers are important.
So, hey.
But if I had to recommend.
Yeah, recommend something for us.
It would be season two of Mo on Netflix. If you haven't watched it yet, Mo Amar, Houstonian, A-Leaf's own, put out season one last year, and it was basically a love letter to the city of Houston and everything that is great and not so great about the city. Highlighted some great moments, highlighted, you know, a lot of cool spaces around the city of Houston. But season two is a little bit deeper. It still has the same, like, love for H-Town and where it falls short, but it's a lot deeper in terms of, like, what our immigrant communities are going through, right? And when we hear undocumented immigrant, it doesn't necessarily mean that somebody's here illegally, right? Undocumented immigrants can just be, like, they don't have a citizenship. They're trying to get a citizenship. And what they face, right? And Mo being Palestinian, he does talk about that. And it's just a beautiful, beautiful season, man, especially with everything that's going on right now with the immigration crackdowns and, you know, federal policies impacting local economy, local businesses, local people. It's just a perfect time. It was a beautiful, beautiful season. And I'm not joking around here. Like, the last episode, I had tears in my eyes. And, you know, maybe because I connected more to the show, being an immigrant here who had to wait almost 20 years to become a naturalized citizen. And, you know, what my family went through, it was really cool to see that being represented, at least some angles of it, on Netflix. And he didn't shy away at all from, you know, really important topics.
Michael Carroll did recommend that show in one of his appearances with us. So that's at least two people, if you're listening to the show, who say go watch that one. Yeah, Mo season two is out on Netflix right now. You can check it out. So this has been a hodgepodge of you being serious and you being, well, yourself. Mm-hmm. So do you want to close out with something one way or the other before we wrap it up? Raheem Ramzanali from CityCast. You can find that podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. He's joined us before, but he's got one more thing.
Okay, I do want to close it out with one thing. Rest in peace, Alex Bregman.
He's not dead.
He's dead to us.
I don't think so. Like, Garrett Cole was dead.
I don't care about him anymore.
Garrett Cole was dead to us.
Yeah. Who?
Garrett Cole, exactly. Garrett Cole was dead to us. I don't think Bregman's going to get that type of vibes from people. I think he's one of those guys who, yeah, he's gone, but we still love him. At least from some. Some people are going to, hey, you're a Red Sox, get out of here. And I understand that sentiment. I don't think people are going to turn on him, though. I don't think he's getting booed, definitely.
They should turn on him.
Why?
That's when you know you're a real one.
Why?
Right? No more of this, like, oh, it's fun being a Houston Astros fan. No, we'll boo everybody but Carlos Correa.
Why is Carlos Correa exempt from getting booed?
Because he's awesome. I like Carlos Correa. He's a nice guy. What do you want me to say?
Is Bregman a bad guy?
Boo him. I don't know, but just boo him. Let's boo him. He's on the Red Sox. Carlos Correa? What threat does Carlos Correa?
Well, that's the point. Like, Carlos wound up in Minnesota. George is in Toronto. Like, Garrett Cole's in New York, and that's enough to hate him. The Bregman thing, the only reason to turn on him is where he landed. Like, if he wound up in Toronto or Chicago or Detroit, who cares? Yeah, I don't care about that. I don't care if you play there. You're non-existent to us. Boston, that's a problem. I get that part of it.
Yeah. Boston, L.A., New York, boom. And Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay. No, they make us miserable when we play there, but I wouldn't boo him if he wound up in Tampa.
Does Tampa still have do they have the team still?
I don't know where they're going to play because
they
were supposed to build a stadium.
Every day?
They're supposed to build a stadium that didn't get approved. Then their current building got damaged by a hurricane. I think they're going to be playing in a minor league stadium. I haven't paid attention to that story since I found out they weren't going to
get
their new stadium.
As well?
Where?
Aren't they playing in Las Vegas as well? Why don't they just put like three teams there and just save money?
Well, they can't get the A's there yet. They're going to be playing in Sacramento. So, and, you know, there's no stadium.
Wait, what? I didn't know that.
You didn't know that? No, they don't have a stadium. No. They don't have a baseball stadium to house an MLB team. So they're going to.
Why can't they just play at the UFO-looking stadium?
Because the Raiders don't want to let that happen. That's a football only, apparently. The Raiders are like, no, why would you? We're not going to let you in our building. I don't know where the Rays are playing. I have to look at it. Why won't they play in the Raiders stadium? Are the Texans, would the Texans let the Astros play in their stadium?
Yeah, H-Town to a drum, baby. Why not?
I don't think though. The Rays will be playing right at there. George M. Steinbrenner Field in Tampa. That's where they're going to play their games while Tropicana Field being fixed or not.
Wow, interesting. So, interesting stuff.
So Altuve will be playing left field in Sacramento this year.
What? Yeah. It's just a simulation. This is not real.
That's where the A's are playing, and they're at a point where they're not going to acknowledge that they're the Sacramento A's. You just call them the A's. They don't have a city name anymore. They're just the A's. They're just the Athletics.
Because they're free agents right now, right?
Well, yeah. The Vegas thing is they're what they Oakland. Want to happen. They're not Oakland. They're not in Vegas. They will just be called the Athletics this season. And going forward until they move.
They should just be the MLB A's. And, like, they should only wear MLB logo. No A's logo. Like, make it look like
Rob Lowe's hat.
From Parks and Rec. Yeah, Rob Lowe's hat. Do that.
No.
They're just MLB team.
Well, I don't think Major League Baseball wants them either. Sacramento, you can have them. See how it goes for you. That's Raheel Ramzanali. He is the host of CityCast. He will do serious stuff. He will do silly stuff. You heard it all here. But mostly on CityCast, he will inform you about what's going on in Houston, what you should know about this great city.
Thank you so much, Del. And we also have a daily newsletter called Hey Houston. If you want just a newsletter every morning with the news, things to do, food reviews, events, all this good stuff, you can subscribe to that as well. Houston.citycast.fm. Or just look up CityCast, not cats, C-A-S-T, Houston. Thanks, Del. Yeah. Thanks, Abigail.
Thanks, Abigail. Thanks. Real, yeah, from 7 to 10 is City Cats, but from 10 to 12, it's City Cast. City Cast. He is the host of that. Okay, we went way long, so Abigail now has to combine breaks. Good luck with that. We will likely have one more segment to go. We'll see how she does. We'll see how she handles it. We'll be back.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to some NFL news after we talk to Chris. I'm going to take you into the mind of a wide receiver, even one who wins a Super Bowl. But first, let's talk to Chris, who wants to talk about Bregman. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, this whole talk about if we should boo Bregman, I say we absolutely do boo him.
Okay.
When he could be in a soft city and saying, yeah, you signed with a different city. He basically made Altuve almost beg him to stay and change positions, and he still said no. We don't need to re-sign him, or we don't need to cheer him on for not re-signing with us. And he did get cheers whenever he plays last game with us. And after that, that's it. He is now our enemy with the Red Sox. Let's move on. I would cheer on the new hopefully dynasty that's going to be built with Altuve again. But no, I absolutely do boo Bregman. I don't care. Him and his Breggy saucer, whatever it is, can go to Boston and enjoy it. And he did it for the money. He didn't do it to win because that Red Sox roster is not that good compared to the Astros roster. So I say, screw him, and let's move on.
Thanks, Chris. I'm surprised by that. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You want to boo him? Cool. I don't boo, so I won't do that, but I'm not going to applaud him. I'm sure that video will be heartwarming for some. People will show up in their Bregman jerseys the first time he's back at now Daikin Park. But I would be a conscientious objector there. I'm just going to sit there and wait for this video to be over and then wait for the game. But Chris is one side of the coin. I wonder how many people feel like him that Bregman's the enemy. I think the Red Sox in particular are a big problem that he signed with them. They, despite what Chris says about their roster, feel like they can be a threat at times, and you've played them in the playoffs, and he went to sign there. One of his memorable moments, one of his iconic moments is celebrating in the dugout in Fenway. And now he's going to be in the opposite dugout rooting for Red Sox teammates. That's a tough look for an Astros fan. So there we go. We got one person who says he will boo him, and that echoes Raheel Ramzanali. And also, I don't know if I believe Raheel. He doesn't seem like a booer. We'll see. Got a tweet from JLP. He says Bregman is dead to him too. Okay. This has stretched on a long time. it felt like we were getting a non-update weekly and sometimes twice a week from reporters, whether they be national or local. And I think it was tiresome to see that the Astros continued to have the best offer, and Bregman was unwilling to take it. I wonder how long that offer was on the table. Even just recently, we heard about an offer was increased, and Bregman was unlikely to take it. So, at least from the Astros side, they were telling the world that there was a legitimate offer out there, and even one they were willing to increase. Yet Bregman wasn't interested in it. He does get his money. He gets his bag, short-term deal where he can get out of it after the first 2 years at $40 million a year. Got to watch that man in Fenway in a Red Sox uniform for at least this season. We'll see how long he remains there. Okay, into the mind of a wide receiver. A.J. Brown is now a champion. He was on the Eagles team who lost to the Chiefs. He now got his revenge. You would think he'd be thrilled. He'd be thrilled to win the Super Bowl. The moment you become a champion seems like the biggest thing you could ever accomplish playing a team sport. I will say this. The great Jeff Teague talked about it being more important to get his bag and get his numbers than it was to win a title with the Bucks. And that was partly because, and maybe mostly because, he wasn't like a big-time rotation piece. He played, but he wasn't the star. He wasn't Giannis. He wasn't even one of the second or third guys like Chris Middleton or Drew Holiday. So he just wanted to get minutes and get money, and the championship meant less because he wasn't that big of a contributor. A.J. Brown, starter, caught a touchdown, but if you look at what he posted on Instagram, the Super Bowl wasn't that fulfilling. This is what he wrote. After a few days, I've had time to reflect on being a champion. I tried to feel how everyone made it seem to be a champion, and unfortunately, it was short-lived. 2 days to be exact, LOL. I've never been a champion at the highest level before, but I thought my hard work would be justified by winning it all. It wasn't. My thrill for the game comes when I dominate. It's the hunt that does it for me. It's when the DB drops his head and surrender because he can't F with me. The intense battles, early mornings, late night sacrifices. I love putting smiles on people's faces. Don't get me wrong, but it just wasn't what I thought it would be. It's the journey that I love the most, back to work. So, if I'm being generous, the man doesn't care about the end goal. He cares about the process of getting there. Or, if we're going, oh, he's a receiver, it's, I didn't put up 150 and 3 TDs, so I don't hit the same. I'm going to shoot him some bail and suggest that this is about the end product isn't what he's built for. It's getting there, all as he told you, the hard work, the moments it takes to get to that point. But A.J. Brown, took him 2 days to be over winning a Super Bowl. Okay, man. Usually everyone talks about that thing being the achievement of their sporting life, winning a championship. Not A.J. Brown. Let's get at it again. I'm sure he'll get a lot of likes for people saying, stay on your grind. Maybe don't do it during Super Bowl week, at least the celebratory part of Super Bowl week. Didn't even wait for the parade. The parade is tomorrow. And already A.J. Brown's saying, not satisfied. I want more. This championship didn't mean that much. Only meant a lot for 2 days. All right. I think A.J. Brown will be fine. I just think in a moment where everything is great for Philly, he just let everyone know. That Super Bowl, whatever. I didn't make that DB drop his head in shame, and that's why I'm not happy. All right, we're done for the day. Thank you to Abigail for filling in for Sean today. She'll be filling in for Sean later too, from 12 to 3 with Gallant and George. Joe's back, so it'll be the two guys in here, and then she'll be replacing Sean. Obviously, the Killer Bees are after them. So, Abigail, since we're done for the day, what does that mean?
We did it!
We did do it. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments. River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.